You know, I just want you to know, I set my heart not to rush from one thing to the next. I come prepared with what he's already given me, but I'm prepared to move in any direction that he leads me. So it's important that we're just all aware of that, because we want the Lord to have his way, right? It's always better to let him have his way. Thank you, Father. Well, I've got one PowerPoint slide that we'll be ready to show you, so you won't see it yet, but when we get there, just one. And it's something you've already read and seen, but looking at it this way, it's a real eye-opener. My friend Willie back there, we were talking a little bit about it throughout the day. I just want to share a little bit about the glorious fruit of the Word of God. When you think about the power of God's Word, what it can have in a person's life, in a church that believes it, receives it, and bears fruit with it, it's astounding. And, you know, some bear fruit with the Word of God. Like Jesus said, 30-fold, some 60, some 100. So, God's Word is called various things. The Word of God, the Word of the Lord. It's called the Word of the Kingdom. The Gospel of the Kingdom of God is also called the Word of Truth. It's called the Word of Faith. And you'll see statements that it's called the Word of the Truth of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. The Word of Faith, it's called that in Romans chapter 10. So then, to build ourselves up, we've heard that, to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, Jude chapter 1, there's only one chapter in there, verse 20, says, build yourselves up on your holy faith. Some translations, your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. I like this translation. But you must build up your lives ever more strongly upon the foundation of your holy faith, learning to pray in the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. Powerful translation that is of that one little verse. So, you know, it's not obscure to build yourself up on your most holy faith means the Word. It's the Word of faith. And so that means we learn and we build up our lives on what Jesus taught and what the apostles taught, what Jesus gave them, and then after he ascended, what the Spirit through Jesus gave them. And we're building our lives up ever more strongly upon our most holy faith. Jesus warned us of tribulation coming. We know through things he taught that temptations will come. Our faith will be tested. It has to be tested, just like they don't put a car on the road until it's tested to make sure it works right. But our faith will be tested for the purpose of it being found unto praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, though it's tested by fire. Sometimes the trials you go through are trials. Some trials are fiery trials. And it tests, and God knows your faith is genuine, but he's going to test it so that it will be found unto those things, something he can commend, praise, something he can honor, something he will glorify. I've been in some trials like you all have. I entered it, like James says, and I've gotten through it, and I look back like, gee, I did not do well through that. And all that God can give me, Mr. Russell, is a certificate of participation. Like they do in school, right? You know, they can't really find something to give that student. So, hey, you participated in this. Here's a certificate. You know, well, God's not going to do that. If he cannot commend it, honor it, there's nothing for it. So it's important that when we go through, like James says, count it all joy. That word count means to look ahead. Count that what you're going to go through or are going through, count it for joy because of the result of it. And it's essential that we go through our trials with God. And like someone once said after telling his testimony, he said, gee, Guy, his name was Guy Dowd. He won Teacher of the Year years ago. Gee, that's enough to make you lose your faith. Guy said, nope, it's enough to make me use my faith. That's essential. You see, we're to put into practice, and it exercises our faith. We should be aware that our faith is growing in some area. A test comes, a trial, or you're exercising, you're having to put into practice your faith, what you've learned already. And in doing that, you're growing it, and, well, you're staying fit like exercising, right? But sometimes weight that's heavier, and it's going to grow that. So we'll enter in some trials that are, gee, that's one of the hardest things I've ever been through. And it's going to grow your faith. You may be facing something. It's not painful or anything like that, but you're believing God, and you want that promise to be fulfilled. You're having to grow your faith. You're exercising your faith. And in the process of exercising your faith, standing, your faith is growing. So, you know, Raphael's come a long way from just the last almost 2 years. And that disease, amyloid, I went through the transplant, but it takes a while for all of it to be flushed out of your body. And you wish it would all be gone. But there's something causing this stuff in my lungs that makes me cough. And it's getting better. And the doctors, or the last doctor report, Dr. Janasia, the oncologist, comes in, big smiles, turns the monitor. Look at these blood test results. There is no medical explanation for this. How are you getting better? And I tell him, he knows about when this door opened to starting to minister. I told him I got a word. Jesus said, rise up and walk. So I'm exercising my faith like every time I come. And I got that word, you know, rise up and walk. And it's okay. And doesn't matter how I feel. Last Wednesday run, it was like, you think you might need to stay home. I wasn't doing good that day. No, he said, rise up and walk. What's happening? My faith is being exercised. So I'm now speaking to whatever the root cause is that's a mystery. Like Jesus said, when he spoke to that fig tree, right? He cursed it. May no one ever eat fruit from you again. And he walked out. When they're coming back, getting ready to go back in the temple before he overturned the tables, because those people made the house of prayer a den of thieves. And so the zeal of God that consumed him for his house went into motion. Well, on the way back, Peter's like, hey, the tree you cursed, it's dried up from the roots. And Jesus, wise, didn't say, well, how'd y'all like that? Wasn't that cool? No, he used it again to teach them and said, have faith in God. Assuredly, I say to you, if you say to this mountain, be uprooted and cast into the sea, and not doubt in your heart, but believe that the things you say will come to pass, believe the things you say will come to pass, you will have whatever you say. Now that's a powerful, it's when you're speaking to something, it's not, Lord, remove this thing. You're speaking to the tree, you're speaking to a root cause that's causing trouble, and you're saying, be uprooted and get out of my body in the name of Jesus. You gotta bring that name in. All authority in heaven and on earth is given to Jesus. He has that. And so demons are subject to us in his name, not without his name, in his name, right? Things will move because we speak it in his name. Thank you, Lord. Will and I, we chuckle over this, but in some of my growing experiences of speaking to something, I used to test it and it wouldn't come to pass. It was kind of, you know, like child things, you know, you just see if it will work. But when we lived in Melrose, there was a tree, just wasn't doing too good. And I'm like, you know, our budget was already tight. So I began to speak to the tree, be uprooted and get in the woods, right? And my friend will testify, well, I've told him the story. Well, we would speak to it. I wouldn't see any fruit. I wouldn't see any results in that for a while. So I kind of backed off, but, you know, I'm like, anything can happen. I spoke. I wasn't real persistent. God was gracious to me. It was 2 years later. There was a storm. One of the tree, part of the, half the tree, or fell over into that tree, and a big old branch that was the size of a tree was leaning against there. And anyway, I'll just go through the story, but the guy is like, you know, we're paying for him to do that, but he's like, hey, this needs to go, and we'll do it for free. So they cut the tree down, the little logs. Where do you want us to put it? I said, you can throw it in the back if you want. I don't know when it was, the next day or something like that. I'm like, my God, it worked. The tree's uprooted. It's in the woods. Didn't cost us a dime. I'm like, that's so powerful, God. I forgot, but you remembered, and you did it, and you honored your word. That taught me something. Gee, I was wondering if someone out there was saying to my hair, be uprooted and... I'm like, stop. No, don't curse me, please. But it worked. And so right now I'm exercising my faith, but I need to stay in the realm, and I have to speak to myself, you know, and speak it out, speak to myself. Remember the 2 Corinthians 4. What I was just sharing with you, that verse, that's Matthew 11, verse 22, have faith in God. And then he spoke about speaking to the tree. We're going to come back to that verse. Don't let me forget. What was I just saying? I need somebody to help me stay on track. And Holy Spirit, we were going somewhere. Hmm?
2 Corinthians?
Thank you. 2 Corinthians 4:13, the spirit of faith. And we should know this by now. Because God's equipping us to grow and to exercise the word as a fellowship. So as a fellowship, we're growing, we're in unity, and by this time next year, it's like it's powerful, more powerful than we were, but as a church as well, not just individually. So spirit of faith is, I believed, therefore I spoke. And we're learning it's very important to speak what you believe. And you're saved and your name's written in the book of life. Speak that. I'm saved. For with the mouth, confession's made to salvation. With the heart, one believes to righteousness. The eunuch that was saved, when Philip the evangelist went to him, he said, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ. And the eunuch said, he confessed, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He was baptized. That moment, he was born again. He confessed with his mouth the Lord Jesus. He believed in his heart. God raised him from the dead. He was saved. Isn't that awesome? That's Romans 10. So we learn the spirit of faith, I believe. So back to Mark 11, verse 23. You speak to that mountain. You speak to that thing, you know, that's hindering, that's in the way. Jesus spoke to a demon to leave, and it left. But not every illness is from a demon. Peter's mother-in-law had a fever. He didn't cast a demon out. He commanded that fever to leave her, and it did. So there's discernment. Some people, they just think a demon's behind everything, and it's wrong. It hurts people, you know, and messes with their thinking. So Jesus operated because of the fullness of the Spirit in discernment. And so Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, one translation, verily, verily, truly, truly, real emphasis, what I'm telling you is true. Like we saw Sunday about the marriage supper of the Lamb and the angel telling John to write and finish it by saying, these are the true sayings of God. I mean, it just doesn't get any weightier than that. You know, it's powerful. And so if you say to this mountain, you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that the things you say will come to pass. That's our part. You say to it, and you believe that the things you say will come to pass, then Jesus gives you the promise, you will have whatever you say. All of this is in the realm of things pertaining to the Lord, things in the will of God, all of that. Amen? Some people abuse those things. It's all in the will of the Lord. But check out the next verse now in Mark. This is good because we're going to look at, I just thank the Lord and how the Holy Spirit's leading. In Mark 11, verse 24, now he's going to cover the area of prayer right here. And we're all challenged with this, but again, it's growing in that. He said, all things, whatever you desire, when you pray. You see that? When you pray. Believe that you receive them and you will have them. It's the same thing when you're speaking, and if you believe, you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that the things you say will come to pass, that's our part. God honors that. Faith pleases the Lord. A cheerful giver, God loves. He loves faith. He's into faith, right? He marvels at faith, like the centurion, and he marveled at unbelief. It's like, are you serious? You know? So people hindered God from moving because of their unbelief. So we know that God, these things happen in the realm of faith. How often did he say, be it unto you according to your faith. A blind man coming, Jesus, you know, people would make fun of him today. And he asked, what do you want me to do for you? I mean, that seems, but he asked that for a purpose. He knows why, but he's drawing something out of them that I might receive my sight. Do you believe I'm able to do this? Yes. All in that realm of faith, be it unto you according to your faith. Rarely did he just override that, like the man that was by the pool and had no one to take him there. He didn't know the pool was standing right in front of him, so to speak. The fountain with healing waters, you know. Oh, I love that. Take up your bed and walk. You don't need to go on that. We're coming into a new dispensation, you know. Oh, what a beautiful story. So that was prayer. So we're speaking to things in verse 23. Verse 24 was that realm of prayer. We need to stay in that. And when it doesn't come yet, there is your faith being tested in mind. We have to keep, hold fast your confession. Amen? And it's also a realm of sorting things out. Lord, how come I, help me, teach me, like the disciples, what does this parable mean? It was given to them to understand. They didn't understand it, but it was given to them to understand. They did the smart, wise thing. They came and said, what does it mean? Right? Not everyone did that. How often do believers quote this verse and say yes and amen to it? You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Yeah. And then to ask them, just in the past 2 weeks, what truth has God revealed to you? And share how much more freedom you have because of that. My wife and I were talking about that in our little morning devo. I'm like, honey, this should be a growing experience. Because we all need more freedom in certain areas. And it will come as we abide in the Word. You'll know the truth. So like what's happening right now, we're abiding in the Word, right? We're in Mark chapter 11, 22. Jesus said, have faith in God. That's the truth. Have it. Have it. Have faith in God. Almighty. He told Abraham and Sarah, you know, and it's just beyond human possibility. Is anything too hard for God? He told Jeremiah to buy a field, put the permit in the ground, but they're surrounded by the Babylonians, about to be taken to captivity. Jeremiah, he's just like us. Oh, Lord God, you made the heavens and the earth. Nothing's too hard for you. But, that but, you know, we're surrounded. You said this is going to be destroyed and all of that. In other words, God, why are you telling me to do this? That doesn't make any sense. Jeremiah, is anything too hard for God, for me? Do it. And sure enough, 70 years, but they come back. Everything's restored, just like he said. Have faith in this God. Nothing's impossible. I don't know, about 4 years ago, the Lord said, son, I love when he calls me son. This so good, and my name, just like you, he calls his sheep by name. You know, thus says the Lord who redeems you, calls you by your name, you are mine. I love that. Isaiah 43, just when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they won't overflow you. walk through the fire, it will not burn you, nor will the flame scorch you. For I, the Lord your God, the Holy One, am with you. That's why it's so important to know our God, the God, only God, true, wise, know his names, know his nature, his character, have faith in him. Because we're going to need that. Faith in him. So he said to me, son, I want you to bring this into your prayer life. Say, all things are possible with you, Lord. And then pray. I said, I will do that. And so I will say, Lord, all things are possible with you. And I would pray. I will pray, and I'll conclude it. Lord, all things, this is possible with you. It's possible for you to restore me to my original purpose you had for me from the very beginning, through my failures, my faults, my going in the right way, getting detoured, becoming sick and diseased. All things are possible for you to restore me. It's amazing. Have faith in God. And what's really interesting in the display of his power by saying and speaking to a mountain, and whoa, that is powerful. God giving that, granting that authority to us in his name as we're submitted to him, right? And then all things, whatever you ask, I will give you. That's big. He said that to his disciples. Whatever you ask, I'll give it to you. That my Father may be glorified. Beautiful. So back to Mark 11, verse 24. The prayer, whatever you desire, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. You got to ask. He knows what you have need of before you ask him. I've heard believers tell me, oh, he knows what I need. I don't have to ask him. I said, you're really dead wrong. Jesus said in Matthew that he knows what you have need of. The Father, Jesus, saying he knows what you have need of before you what? Ask him. You have to ask. You have not because you ask not. Some people ask him because they don't receive because they ask amiss. It's outside of what God knows is best for them, or it's to consume it upon their own lust. Let me have that, God. It's just out of the realm. So in that powerful display of God and us in partnership with him, things moving, hindrances, mountains. And I've read some amazing stories of a church doing that. Churches, people. And then whatever we desire in the will of God, having that come to pass. But then he says this, and when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone. That's a big hindrance right there. Forgive him, forgive her, that your Father also may forgive you. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive you. That hinders. Mountains won't move. Answers will not come. Desires will not be fulfilled because of that. God loves all of us, and he doesn't like it when we're at odds. He's a family God. He's into unity, and unity is where God commands the blessing, life. Peter also said, I'm dishonoring my wife. My prayers are hindered. And who can afford to have your prayers hindered? No way. Ryan Estes has a word. We met together, and when he said it, I said, Ryan, that is a word for Hosanna. It's a short word, but he's had to work because I've been having to wait 3 weeks for him to release this word. But it'd be good. But I want to show you this. This is really important to see. You know, that first things first, if you bring your gift to the altar, your prayer, it can be interpreted in different ways. You bring something to the altar, it's before the Lord. But there, the Holy Spirit reminds you, and you remember, someone has something against you. Leave your gift. Leave the prayer. Leave your speaking to the mountain. Go and be reconciled. Don't send a text, I'm sorry for what I did. No. Oh, that's so easy. That's easier than going face to face. If it's long distance, then call on the phone. It's important that we are reconciled where possible, where God leads us, and that our conscience is clear. Paul said, knowing there's a resurrection, a judgment, he said, I strive always. Think about this. Knowing there's a judgment, striving every day to have a conscience without offense towards God and man. He knows that God gave a conscience like a barometer. We shouldn't have said that. Well, I hope that didn't offend him. We'll find out. Keep your conscience clear before God and people. It's Acts 24, if you're taking notes. Look that up for me, please. Acts 24, 15 and 16, I think. And we're going to put up this one slide because when we're abiding in the Word, we're knowing the truth. Did we hear truth tonight? Yes, we did. And knowing the truth, there's a level of freedom that we begin to walk in. Some people still think they got to gain acceptance with God by doing good works. Can you believe that? Still, you know? Or they'll say, I've witnessed the people, and I'm like, I'm just out here encouraging people. Do you know you're going to heaven? And he names a denomination. What? And that's not going to fly with God. Well, what about Jesus? I mean, you know, the sacrifice. I thought that's the only way we go. You know, all of a sudden, this religious spirit just rises up. I'm like, my Lord, I just wanted to encourage you out here sharing good news, you know? Isn't that horrible? But if they were reading the Word and come to the place about being justified by faith, forgiven from all your lawless deeds, they would know that truth. If they receive it in faith, it would set them free from that lie and that burden of always striving to please God. Like a yo-yo, man, I blew it today. God's not happy with me. It's horrible. And so Jesus says to those who believed on him, that verse is in, it's in John 8:31. He said to the Jews, it's all of us who believed on him, if you abide in my word, if you remain in it, live in it, it lives in you, you'll know the truth, you'll learn truth. Knowing that, believing it, taking hold of it, will set you free. Was that verse right? That's right, Acts 24, 15, and 16. Thank you. Where he said, knowing there is a resurrection, I always strive to have a conscience. But we're going to finish with this. Hey, amen. I'm encouraged tonight. I love the Word. Just, there's something, you know, the world would use the term magical. You know, it's mysterious. There's something that's living and powerful about the Word, and it inside your spirit works. Just put that slide up, if you would, Will. We're finally there. It's the parable of the sower, but what I want us to see, look how many times. This is the one, the parable's in three gospels. You really have to put them all together to get the whole picture, but I'm just using the one in Matthew chapter 13. So the whole thing will come up, but I highlighted where you'll see the yellow highlighted, look at the word of the kingdom, the word, the word, the word, the word, the word. He's the sower of the word. Jesus came to sow the word. Ministers sow the word. You may be sowing the word to somebody, you know, at the school, the word sown. But look at this. Anyone hears the word of the kingdom, because it's about entering the kingdom, right? And he doesn't understand it, the wicked one comes. Look at the animosity against the word in this parable. He comes and he snatches away, very aggressive. Too many times I'm witnessing to two people. One is attentive. They're like right on the edge, and the buddy is right there. Let's get out of here. Y'all ever experienced that? It's horrible. I'm like, that's the devil working in that person, getting their friend away to snatch that word so they won't hear it. Snatches away what was sown in his heart. Put the other parables together. The rest of that verse would say, lest he should believe and be saved. So the devil doesn't want that. He hates that. So he works at keeping the word away from the lost. Watch this. And he works at keeping us from getting the word to the lost. The word is powerful. There's, you know, when you buy that seed, if you want to plant and do a garden, and you buy watermelon seeds, what picture are they going to have on the package? But it just don't happen that fast. You got to start with a seed, and you have to tend to it, cultivate it, for it to become that. When God gives you a specific word, it don't happen automatically. Many of them, you have to believe it, receive it, and you and I have to barrel through the animosity of the enemy that wants to snatch that word from you. How many times have people start off tithing because the word convicted them and they wanted to honor the Lord with their tithe? Or even if they didn't believe that, they want to honor the Lord with the first fruits of all their increase. And all of a sudden, the devil starts touching their finances for a little while. He's trying to steal their blessing. And too often, too many quit because of that. But if they persisted, they would have seen the windows of heaven open for them. Amen? But he who received the seed on stony places, he hears the word, receives it with joy, but he has no root in himself, endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, the devil's behind that too. Another gospel will say, and temptations. So that person only endures for a while, and then he withers away because of that. So the devil was successful in keeping that person from becoming a strong, vibrant Christian. You know, when Rhonda and I, when we pastored in Missouri, my word, his word, we saw all that in action. But by the grace of God, being able to endure the fruit of being obedient of what happened to a people is worth it all. Was worth the tribulation, was worth the persecution, and all those other things. And then it says, now he received seed among the thorns. That's who hears the word, the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches. Another gospel part says, and desire for other things enters in, chokes the word, that person becomes unfruitful. If you see all that animosity, it's just good to know that because it helps us. No, I'm holding fast your confession. That's us on the bottom. We're good ground. and we receive it, like one translation, with a good and noble heart. We seek to understand it. We bear fruit. Another gospel says, with patience, diligence. You keep applying that word to your walk, and you bear fruit. Some 30, you know, because they're struggling. Some 60, and some 100. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. I don't know what time it is. I apologize if you kept a little too long. But Lord, we thank you for the prayer that's gone up before you into your ears tonight. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you for your word. Lord, I just pray as an under-shepherd over your people, Father, that you would increase a hunger for your word. You would increase a love for your truth, because we know that the people, as we read in the book of Thessalonians, they're going to be deceived because they didn't receive the love of the truth. And they had pleasure in unrighteousness. So I ask, God, that you'll increase a love for the truth, a love for righteousness, a hatred towards sin and lawlessness. And Lord, that you will just encourage every one of us with reward, just like you helped me with that tree, even though I wasn't as persistent as I thought I needed to be, but you still honored and you still showed me, and I needed that encouragement. So Lord, send encouragement in the prayers that they're praying, Father, anything they may be speaking to, God, that they will be encouraged, just like you're encouraging me with that doctor. I am not completely well, but you're making me completely well. And that was just a sign. He couldn't explain what was going on, but we just gave glory to you in his ears and said, "This is the Lord." He said, "I will verify that it is the Lord." Lord, I ask you strengthen us, each of us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Those that need direction, I ask you to send out your light and your truth and instruct them in the way they should go. You are faithful to do that. Thank you, Father.